Well, hello, everybody. This is Arkin Brothers Talk About Movies, and we're the Arkin Brothers. I'm Tony Arkin, and that's Matthew Arkin, my brother, over there. You can see him if you're watching this on YouTube. And today we're going to be talking about the movie. I think it's a movie. I'm not quite sure. It's called Mac and Me from 1988. Stay tuned.
Talking about cocktails that are stylish, movies great or phony, and how Tony should win to Matthew, and Matthew should win to Tony. But in the meantime, talking about film in the meantime, the Arkin Brothers talk about movies.
Oh boy. Wow.
This is a special time.
Yeah, it's a very special time. But before we get into the special time, how you doing?
I'm good. I haven't seen you it feels like in a while. I don't know what time and space is anymore, so did we do a show last week? No.
We didn't do a show last week cuz I was too busy to even watch this movie. Life has just become too busy. I sleep when I can sleep. I work when I can work. I don't go to the bathroom ever. it's just impossible.
Well, on a different kind of show, I might question you further about that, but I'm going to refrain.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. How are you doing? Just same thing?
Busy? Yeah, the same. No, I can't cop to that. I've been fairly busy the end of the summer, but the last week or so has not been that busy. I was kind of holding the fort down here. Amelia went to visit her mom for a few days, so I was here looking after the cats, looking after the apartment, being an adult, taking care of business, so to speak, that I had to do.
Right.
And I think it amounted to me seeing maybe eight movies and
wow,
gaining 5 pounds.
Wow.
And then nothing else happened.
Wow. Oh, I'm so jealous.
It was a pretty sweet few days. Yeah.
Boy, I'm looking forward to, I'm going to get my second booster. I'm not my second booster, my third booster, the new booster in a few days.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward to that, because if it's anything like the first 4 shots that I had, I will be laid out for 3 days and unable to do anything. And I'm looking forward to that, because
being
being sick and unable to rise from the bed will be a vacation.
Yeah, no, I get knocked out by those shots too. I like each one, every single one. I was just a mess for 3 days.
Yeah, and incredibly grateful at the same. Like, how can you? There's something that can make you feel so bad, and grateful for it too.
Yeah,
at the same time,
it's like, will you break your face with this rock?
Yeah,
you'll feel completely better in 3 days, but you have to hit your own face with this rock.
And it'll save your life and allow you
to other people's too. But it takes a certain amount of courage to just decide to get sick.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So. Well, I hope you get sick soon, get a booster and get sick soon, because it's great. You 3 days of luxury.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try and schedule it for that Saturday, I think.
Okay. Is that a new day of the week that they've added?
So,
I haven't gotten any memos about that.
Saturday. Yeah.
Okay.
We did create a new martini with batch 22, which I think, I don't care how busy you are, I don't care how broke you are, you need to get on an airplane and get out here, because we have discovered the martini of all time with batch 22. Yeah, she's a little too young to drink it, but it's batch 22.
Depends on what country you're in, I think. There's different laws in different countries.
Yeah. Batch 22, little sweet for
me. Right. Welcome to California, bud.
Yeah, that's right. Batch 22, little sweet vermouth, little dry vermouth. These olives that come from Stonewall Kitchen, Tillin Farms, has olives that are in vermouth stuffed with lemon peel. And
yes.
So a little bit of that vermouth brine, the lemon peel stuffed olives.
I'm nodding like Jack Nicholson in The Departed right now. That sounds fantastic.
And olive bitters in a Nick and Nora glass. And it's the best, classiest martini you've ever had.
So for me to have it the way that you want me to have it, that martini would be about $2,000. Do you think it's worth $2,000?
I would pay $2,000 for this martini. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like Kobe. Those are Kobe beef martini.
Yeah. I'd also pay $2,000 to not talk about this movie with you.
Oh, brother.
I'm afraid. I am very, very, very afraid that there could be a conflagration and this could be the last episode of the Arkin Brothers Talk About Movie, which would be a shame because we're on 97th episode. We should make it to 100. I'd hate it if we actually came to blows.
Well, here's this. Don't be afraid. I got a solution to that. If there's a problem, we can have the last two or three episodes just be silence. But release it. Release it, and we'll call it a podcast.
Because if you like this movie, I don't know what we're going to do.
Have you? What's your relationship with this movie?
My previous relationship with this movie, I would say my previous relationship with this movie is that I have eaten at McDonald's in my life.
Good.
You know what I feel like?
A Big Mac?
Man is a genius.
I'm psychic.
I tell you.
Yeah, that's my relationship with the movie. Sometimes I feel like having a Big Mac.
Okay. That puts, you know, you can start to breathe easy because I have even that impulse less frequently than you do.
Okay.
So
we're not going to fight on this one.
We may fight because I have strong feelings, but not the way that, I mean,
I have strong feelings too.
I have.
Why don't you stop by for a Big Mac?
Oh my God.
This, okay. So for those of us who don't know what's happening, which would be me. We're talking about 1988's Mac and Me, which I'd heard about since 1988, I guess, in passing. It's been the butt of jokes.
Only way you should hear about this movie.
Yeah, it won Razzie Awards. You know, it was a flop. If you were alive in 1988, you probably knew of its existence because it was a bit of a embarrassment for the people that made this movie. And by the people that made this movie, I mean, of course, the corporation McDonald's and the corporation Coca-Cola
and Carnation and Sears,
also probably owned by the guy Larry who owns those companies,
right?
Oh, so my God. You know, we'd heard about it, knew it was there, and over the years it's become a cult, a big kind of cult favorite and referenced in a lot of jokes and, you know, gags and late night talk show jokes. Like Paul Rudd plays a clip of this movie every time he goes on a show to promote one of his own things that he's made up, but nobody knows that. And he'll play a clip from this.
Right.
It's got a certain stat, you know, it's got a lot of stature as a what in God's name is this kind of movie.
Well, I guess in that regard, then I am grateful that it was made and love it, because we all need objects of derision to help us get through the day.
I was okay. I was rolling with it until I figured out what other people had already known, which I didn't know, which is that this is a McDonald's produced. This is an advertisement for McDonald's.
Yes.
I didn't know that part of it. I, you know, I guess if you need to see it to believe it, but it really is an ad for McDonald's. It really actually is. And when I realized that, I got so disgusted that things I had actually enjoyed soured and I didn't enjoy them anymore. It really bothered me.
Well, we've got another 50 minutes to fill.
Oh, there's a lot I have more written about it than any movie we've discussed.
Oh, really? Okay.
I have eight pages of notes that I was writing like a madman.
He doesn't have any diseases.
Oh, I have diseases now. Oh, I have diseases.
Turn on your hard light in the middle of a young boy's dream.
I want to talk about a strange thing though.
Communicating.
This, I just happened to stumble upon another crazy cult movie this week that I'd heard about and never seen. And Amelia and I had never seen a movie called Tammy and the T-Rex, which has got a reputation similar to Mac and Me, except people, I think, are warmer towards Tammy and the T-Rex because I don't believe that it was produced by Starbucks or by Wendy's or something.
No, it was In-N-Out Burger, which are much better hamburgers.
And it's a smaller chain, less offensive. It's directed and written by the same guy, as it turns out.
Really?
So I've had a crash course in a man who I don't even know if I want to promote. I don't even have IMDb pulled up right now, which is how I feel.
It's also apparently, according to our producer, called Tanny and the Teenage T-Rex.
They
used both titles, apparently.
Well, I've heard they say Tanny, but it's the posters are Tammy.
Tammy. So that might have been a typo.
Because they know. And at one point in the movie, one person calls themselves Tanny and then it's Tammy. I don't think they knew whose name was whose.
Oh, my God.
But it's interesting because that movie is known for something that is similar to what this movie is known for. What is an interesting, odd piece of trivia about Mac and Me? You think that would be relevant today or interesting?
The fact that they used a differently abled actor in a lead role in a film is significant and laudable.
Oh, okay. So you're all right. Well, thank you.
Maybe don't throw that actor off a cliff into the water.
You were right, but you just really outclassed me and outwoke me just now, because that's not what I was. That was not what I was talking about. I did notice that, and that was cool. But
I teach at a university. I have to say things like that.
Think of the audience.
One of my students might stumble on this and I could get canceled faster than a bounced check.
You should back me up. Wouldn't do any good.
I think the fact that you're covering this movie on your show is good. Is scary enough. I mean, that's true. You've already transgressed.
That's true. I think my course is being canceled. I can hear the ad drop slips coming in as we speak.
Yeah. Look, we say it. We've said it before. You know, the acting isn't the problem here. It's not the problem. It's problematic, but it's not. It's not. We've both seen in this last year for movies that we reviewed, performances that were worse than this.
There's some pretty bad work in this. Christine Ebersole aside,
I'm saying the little girl is actually quite charming and funny.
I know no one's interested in what I have to say, but I think he's communicating with someone.
I don't think these actors are well directed, but I think that this group could have been in a better Mac and Me, and it would have been, they would have been able to comport themselves great. And I think the kid, you know, the central kid, is terrific.
I'm gonna say
I didn't know that he was in real life in a wheelchair until I researched the movie.
Ah, I'm going to say something strange about the little girl in the movie, that she reminds me of me in People Soup.
Shh, we're communing with the earth spirits.
Yes, I can see that, right. Actually. I can
it's
see
that. Same old 8-year-old acting. It's 8-year-old acting.
Matthew's, of course, referring to his first film, which was the Academy Award-nominated short People Soup.
Well, you know, I didn't want to say that.
Well, you let me say it. I can say it because I wasn't in it. I was not invited.
It's the last Academy Award-nominated movie I had anything to do with. Other than watching.
So what I'm talking about, to get back to my point, is that they share something interesting in common, and that is that, you know, one of the main points about this movie is that it's Jennifer Aniston's film debut, apparently. And Tammy and the T-Rex is Denise Richards' film debut.
Really?
So this writer-director who made these two notably remarkable movies also discovered, two bright young talents.
Did he discover them, or were they just doing background work?
That's a technicality, really. It's in the books. That's their first films. So, and Denise Richards has the starring role in, she's Tammy. So,
or Tammy or Tanny? Which one?
Either one. She plays both.
She plays both.
Yeah.
Well,
so that was interesting.
All you need to say about that.
That was interesting. I've actually like gotten familiar with this guy's canon of work. Like his whole gestalt is now something I understand.
Wow. And I've just learned that our producers, their mom knew Jonathan Ward, who played the older brother.
Oh, I'm okay.
Michael Cruz, who was named after, the character was named after Tom Cruise.
Thanks for bearing that.
Probably an ADUI.
What?
An alien driving under the influence.
Always let us know if there's friends in the movies that we talk about, because we're not always that nice to people. Yeah. Come on. No, he was good. Like I'm saying, there were some good actors in this and some bad, but that's not the main problem here.
There were some good, but before we move to the other problems, we're still talking about performance. What did you think of the performances of the aliens?
Look,
now citizens of the United States of America.
I just have to be very, very honest with you now.
Okay.
This movie disgusts me in a visceral way.
Yeah.
I'm repelled by its crass commercialism and its desperate grab to, you know, to try to mimic one of the great movies of the decade, you know, in just a completely senseless Trumpian, like craziness. That this would work at all, that anybody creative would ever look at any part of this and go, let's do this. This is great. That offends me. But more than that, these aliens, I was repulsed. The special effects made me want to literally throw up. I was so disgusted by these things that I had trouble watching them. So I can't gauge the performance.
I think it was while watching this movie, while eating a Big Mac and watching this movie, that Donald Trump actually decided to run for president.
So, look, I'm sure this is involved in some conspiracy somewhere. You know why? Here's the feeling I had watching it. The feeling I had watching this movie, it's like you're literally watching the worst cult indoctrination video you've ever seen.
Was that Jennifer Aniston? No.
No, she's at the McDonald's.
She's at the McDonald's.
At the McDonald's dance party.
I missed her. Oh, so, okay. The McDonald's dance party, that gets a chapter all on its
sure,
own.
Sure. Yeah, no, of course it does. So the creature design is pretty rough. You know, the bodysuits themselves aren't terrible. I've seen, you know, we've all seen worse, but the faces are so terrifying. I don't think they realized that they were doing something with these masks that was actually like unnerving at a primal level. Their movements and the way that their eyes look and their faces are so, I mean, it's alien and it's, they're reaching for it.
Yeah.
But I never felt like this before. I felt like a guy from the 1950s in one of those ants attacking movies where he's just like, kill them, get them off.
Yeah,
the planet.
Kill the ants. I also love.
Get out of here!
I'm not ready!
No!
Put down your gun and nothing will happen to you.
The aliens, the first time we see the aliens, the spaceship lands on their planet and they throw a rock at it. That's how we're introduced to the aliens. So
we first see them drinking tar through a straw or something. They have straws
Coca-Cola, I think it is. Coca-Cola. Their planet is filled with Coca-Cola. Because it's the only thing they'll drink when they get here.
I'm upset. You know, I see, this is a weird part of my childhood to have died, because I was not a child when this movie came out. But yet, somewhere Mac and Me was a pure thing. I kept it pure. I didn't see it, but I thought it was a crazy indie movie, you know, with a hope and a dream in it. And when you see the tawdry, ultimately Lovecraftian horror of this movie for what it is, its full effect is it's nauseating. Did we come on too strong?
No, not at all. But that little comic traffic jam in which that accident, there's no way that accident happened without people dying.
No.
And yet it's a lighthearted little moment in the movie.
Yep.
Car flying through the air and landing nose first in the roof of another car on the driver's side would instantly kill the driver. And yet it's a lighthearted little moment.
I barely know where and how to begin. I really honestly don't know what to say. This is the only time I'm going to be completely honest. I was so upset with our producers. I was literally upset that I had to watch this.
If you already think you've got schizophrenia.
Schizo what?
Freakia. It's when you see people that really aren't there.
Yeah, well, the fact that they recommended it, I thought we were in for really an out-of-this-world experience. But now I'm feeling kind of alienated.
Have you noticed a spike in our ratings because you've been punning more?
I understand that, you know, they're a little starstruck maybe sometimes. But yeah. I really think if they liked this, they're on a whole nother planet. I mean, they shouldn't even be moving in the same orbit as talented people.
It's
years away from anything that we should be watching.
The thing I missed, though, as angry as I was, is that I had to see it. We have to bear witness to this. This has got to be seen.
It does. And
you just cross your arms and don't unloose them until I tell you you can. Cross your arms.
I think it needs to be seen the way the triumph of the will needs to be seen.
To warn people.
Yeah.
Because
they have to see.
You have to remember, or it could happen again.
It could at any time a corporation might decide to do this. We have to be prepared. It also makes you what I think, and I mean this is the last serious thing I'm gonna say about it, is that why I find it disturbing is that it's a peek inside the creative soul of a corporation that we all know and love and is a dear American, you know, this company, this McDonald's company, which generations of people have been indoctrinated into believing is kind of this wonderful kingdom, you know, like Disneyland almost. Yeah. I mean, it was almost vying for that level of popularity when we were growing up.
Yeah.
And to see that behind it, that the creative vision, that's their creative vision, that on any level, that any choice that anybody made on this movie at any point was acceptable to the people that were feeding America is a scary thought.
What is that on your lap?
Because some of it plays like a trauma movie, and you can't believe that this animatronic broken puppet that they have paraded out that looks like it has leprosy. It literally looks diseased. And
sucked him up in the vacuum to prove to everyone that he exists.
You know what Steven Spielberg said about this movie?
Sophia is saying, "We never saw this movie before, you rat finks," which I adore.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding, guys. I was never angry at you ever, but I was upset.
Look at this! Oh my god, I'm going back to bed.
Upset, and then I realized that this is a bigger thing than just a movie. This is a way bigger thing.
And we're not angry at you, but we will throw you under the bus for comedy. So, you know, just, you should know that.
Just brace yourselves.
Yeah. But do you know what Steven Spielberg said about this movie when he was asked why he didn't sue them for obviously ripping off E.T.?
Well, what did he say? The box office was punishment enough or something like
that?
No,
he said he didn't want to get blamed for making anybody else see it.
There
were some surprises in it though, didn't you think? Like at the end when he gets killed in that explosion, did you expect the aliens to be able to bring him back to life? Oh yeah, we did.
We did. we really did. I mean,
it jumped over my head.
It deserves all the vitriol and anger and hatred and acid we can throw at it, this movie, because it was made possible and brought to us by corporations the likes of which should not be in the movie business. I mean, yeah. What does Sony know about movies after all, anyway? You could argue. Well, they know more than McDonald's.
Well, and at least Sony is in the business of making equipment that makes movies.
Yeah, I mean, I can
see, watch movies.
Yeah, and I can see a parallel. And the other thing they did was they hired good artists to make the movies that they were putting out. So that's a whole other story.
I mean, Amazon's making great stuff. They're a delivery company, right?
You know, I mean, to have made the worst commercial you've ever seen for yourself. What does that say about you, man?
But who's, you know what's interesting? You actually, a really interesting point is that McDonald's has spectacular ad agencies at their command.
Yeah.
And
in the late 80s,
Saatchi, Gray, and name any advertising agency in New York, they would make a better movie than this.
Right. And in
they
the late
did make
80s,
better movies than this.
In the late 80s, movies. big, really well-known directors were already directing commercials. That was a standard thing.
Yeah. So
you couldn't even, and their commercials were well-produced.
Yeah. It's how did they let this happen?
As was Coca-Cola's, you know, they're not a Coca-Cola company. I don't know if, look, maybe they were they owned by the same were they the same in the 80s? I don't know. Was Coca-Cola owned by McDonald's or vice versa? I don't know. Do you know? I don't think so.
I don't think
both of them should just be completely ashamed of themselves. I mean, because you're doing something suspect anyway, at least have the common courtesy to bury the lead a little bit and try to make a decent movie.
Why don't you stop by for a Big Mac?
That was subtle.
You know what I feel like?
A Big Mac?
Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I felt stupid that I didn't think at first, like, oh, is Matt, you know, Mac and me, is, does that have something to do with the you know, McDonald's, or mac and cheese?
Yeah.
It does. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And then, okay, let me just finish my rant, because I'm furious that a company that makes food wouldn't think to make the things that were put on their lunch menu something you'd want to look at while you ate your lunch, because you can't look at these aliens and want to eat and continue to eat.
Oh, nice.
I mean, even on the marketing level, where was the thinking behind that? Like, we're going to make these like literally diseased looking zombie-esque, you know, horrifyingly googly-eyed creatures that have just enough realism to them to be like nightmare fuel, literal like nightmare fuel.
Yeah, except Mac doesn't stand for Big Mac. It stands for mysterious alien creature. Come on. That's what it means. It doesn't mean Big Mac.
No, I mean, follow my logic here.
I know no one's interested, but I have to say...
In 88, they're trying to sell toys.
Yeah,
this is what I'm saying. It's insane.
Yeah, but they didn't even release toys with these things, I don't think. And if they did, children would have run screaming.
That's what I'm saying. Where was the thinking even at corporate levels to make a movie that they could at least capitalize on some cute creatures to sell to kids? Because it's like it's like a bad acid trip. The stuff that people like watching about it now, it's terrifying.
Actually, that scene with the dogs chasing the alien in the little go-kart has my favorite moment in the movie that I actually rewound and watched again.
You made the experience longer for yourself.
Just this one moment, because there's a coming around the corner, there's a dog that skids out.
Oh yeah, he skids. Yeah.
And
so you like the animal abuse part of the movie.
I was like, how did they do that? That dog actually skids out.
Yeah. You like that? The Peter Cetera Karate Kid music breakdown of them driving a...
Yeah, Marlboro commercial in the middle of the movie.
In a similar time, there were a lot of Italian companies that were making movies in America because they could get a deal cheaply to shoot. I think in literally the state of Georgia hosted two pretty well-known horror movies, one called Beyond the Door and the other called The Visitor. I think the same filmmakers. And this movie has the quality of like that or a Troll 2 or something. Although Troll 2, I actually love Troll 2, but it feels like it's made by people who've never been to America before or really know what McDonald's is or saw E.T. They just got handed a script and kind of tried to figure it out, you know, based on very limited knowledge. It's like Borat directed it.
Yeah, and then there's the little transcendental meditation thing in the middle of the movie. And what is up with the dance number? And like, it makes no sense. A full-on dance video in the middle of the movie for no explicable reason. Yeah, I don't. Should we get to some? What's your double feature with this movie?
Battlefield Earth.
Ah, so you double down.
Oh, I'm double down. If you want to talk about an advertisement for a cult, it's got to be the only other one. I've already made the Triumph of the Will joke, which you didn't think was funny, so I'm not going to repeat that. Although no, I think Triumph of the Will would be.
I know no one's interested what I have to say, but I.
Triumph of the Will would be the appropriate one, but I think
that Battlefield laugh because I thought it was insightful.
Oh, okay. Well,
I
hoped it was both funny and insightful, but I'll settle for half. Yeah, no, I think Battlefield Earth would be good. An app.
Oh, jeez. Scares me. I think that's great. You doubled down. I tried to find an antidote.
You're such a positive force on the planet.
No, just to help myself, not to help other people. It's just to get it. It was like, get the taste of that out of my mouth. I went with John Carpenter's Starman.
Okay.
You should back me up.
And I'm getting no love on that.
Well, I mean, you got to think about, like, you've actually, to me, I understand your logic, but to me, you've also that you've made John Carpenter have to hang out with this movie now. And by association, I don't think that's fair. Why should he suffer?
It would help. He gets to help me. He gets to help me feel better.
There's no help. Looking there's no Jack help. Richard you've been
Karen Allen you've... and Charles Martin Smith and Richard Jekyll would make me feel good after watching this movie.
No, what would make you feel good is revenge. Is revenge by making it hang out with something it deserves.
Okay.
I mean, look, you know, I mean, what? These aren't really things that are going to happen. We're just joking about it.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But it is a horrible, venal, disgusting nightmare.
What's your best way to watch this movie?
Oh, don't watch it. Mine don't watch it.
Napping is the best way.
Oh, don't. Yeah, there is no good.
You just cross your arms and don't unloose them until I tell you you can. Cross your arms.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no good way to do it.
Did you recast it?
No, I take it back. I take it back. There's a perfect way to see it. I'd like to see this at the Cannes Film Festival. And see how it does against in the movie, against a real movie. That's what I'd like. It get to get exactly what it deserves. You want to be
IDA, yo.
You want to be a movie? Go ahead, be a movie. You want to see a 3-day like booing festival where you get like trampled, where the audience tramples the filmmakers to death in a rage. Sure, let's go to Cannes. Let's see it at Cannes.
Okay, I'm sensing you have strong feelings about this.
It bothered me on a deep, deep level. It really did. I know it's hypocritical because any big budget, any Hollywood movie, you're watching an ad for popcorn and other stuff, and you're
right.
You're really they're all a part of this. But I think what really bothered me was that if you're gonna do that, have a little bit of, you know, have some decency. You know. You know, you can say that Disney is all about selling stuffed animals and stuff, and they have a weird checkered past and everything. But at the end of the day, they make movies that children adore. They adore them, and they help kids cope with stuff.
Yeah.
This movie's not interested in that.
No.
Like, at all. It's simply interested in getting another cheeseburger shoved down your throat.
I did come up, I think, with some fun recasting.
Oh, please.
I would like to see Will Arnett as the single parent. I would like to see our producer Alexis as the older brother. And I would like to see Sophia playing Mac.
I'll like bite you or something.
Okay, I have nothing to say. I think that's That's the only version I'd want to see.
I don't know how to cast the rest of it, but I think around those three people, you could build a funny version of this. And I'm hoping Sophia will shoot it.
I think it's
only a 10-minute version.
I think it's great. I mean, they've made funny versions of it. In fact, they made Short Circuit, which is not a good movie, but a far funnier version of this movie that just come out.
And it has Steve Guttenberg, so, you know.
Which is a clear example of quality.
Oh, my God.
You know, here, my double bill initially was the movie Silver Bullet, which is another genre movie. It's the same movie, but it's about a werewolf instead of a little cute alien.
Oh, I got confused and thought Silver Bullet was the Richard Pryor on the train.
No, that's not. That's Silver Streak.
Okay, got it.
Different movie. I'm never going to get the story out at this point. So let's just wrap it up. My recast is the Ozzy Osbourne's family. When like back in the day when they did the Osbourne show on TV, and like all of them should just do the show, and Ozzy should be Mac. Then I thought maybe Andy Serkis.
Brother, where are you from?
They're all bad ideas. Let's just not do this movie at all. Let's not recast it. Let's expose the goddamn corporate nightmare that this is. This is exactly how little they think of you, your corporate overlords, people.
I sucked him up in the vacuum to prove to everyone that he exists.
I'm getting interrupted, I know, by the authorities because they don't want me to speak the truth. But yeah, it's true. Your corporate overlords think this much of you.
Yeah, I think Elia works for Coca-Cola and he's trying to silence
Who knows?
Me. Who's that music coming in?
I did not need this movie on top of all the other shit that's going on in the world right now.
There's a pandemic, there's a war, there's
a pandemic, movie. There's global warming, there's all kinds of strife, and there's this.
You had to watch this. Okay. I think we should stop talking about this because I can see your blood pressure rising from here.
No, we're not. Okay. you don't like real passionate feeling.
No, I do. keep it coming. I'll sit here and listen, man. What else you got to say? Bring it on.
No, I got nothing. I got nothing.
No,
I take it back. I thought Paul Giamatti would be good as the father alien, and Rachel Dratch could be the mommy alien. And the kid who played Harry Potter could be the babe Mac.
Could be Mac. He would be good. Yeah. Daniel Radcliffe as Mac.
I mean, no, I'm well. Yeah, okay. The kid who played Harry Potter.
Yeah, Daniel Radcliffe.
That's always.
He doesn't have any diseases.
Yeah.
You're gonna run into him one day when he's like 60 years old, and you're gonna say, "Aren't you the kid who played Harry Potter?"
If I have my wits about me, that's exactly what will happen. If I play it right, and then he'll be like, "Yeah," and I'll be like, "Get me a glass of water."
Oh my God, I do think we're in for a better time next week.
You didn't recast it. We didn't put ourselves in the movie, Matthew.
There's nowhere. No.
Yes. No. We have two parts.
We do. You came up with it.
You definitely got a role in this movie.
I couldn't figure out who we would be.
You both of us got cast in it.
Who are we?
You're the grumpy guy walking his dog past the neighborhood going, they got a lot of weird pets in this neighborhood.
Okay, I'll take it.
Brother.
And I'm the SWAT guy who runs into the supermarket and tries to get the alien to drop the gun.
Excellent. I love it.
I want to give a shout out to somebody though, because, you know, like, it's not everybody's fault. You know, like, who was I thinking of? Alan Silvestri did a nice job on the score, ripping off his work on other films like Predator and ripping off Jerry Goldsmith, because he does rip off Predator and he rips off Gremlins pretty heavy.
Okay.
Pretty hardcore. And you got Nick McLean, who's quite a director of photography. Back to the Future, The Abyss. No, he did Goonies. Yeah, he did Goonies too. Why? What's happening? Why did they?
Our not, producer, were they? Father played violin on the score, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, because the score is the only decent thing going on here. And that's Alan Silvestri, and I would love to hear stories about recording that. That would have been better than blithering on about this. Well, I know this is probably an unpopular stance. I'm sure people love this movie because
nobody loves this movie. It is, God, it's a score of 7 on the tomato meter. It's on IMDb's list of the 100 top bad movies of all time. I think it's number 9.
Yeah. Let's give a little shout out to Martin West, though, who does a pretty good job being the Peter Coyote role in this, the government guy who's trying to get Mac back. He's one of those guys. You've seen him, but I was looking him up and I couldn't believe his career. I recognized him because he plays the traumatized father in John Carpenter's Assault on Precinct 13, which is classic, and he's great in that. And then I was like, who is this guy, though? What was his history? Every show ever. Really? Have Gun Will Travel, Perry Mason, The Virginian, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Ironside, Cannon, General Hospital, Dallas, Chips, Hill Street Blues, Scarecrow, Mrs. King, Hardcastle, McCormick, McClintock, Law and Order, and the movie Harper, and the movie Family Plot.
Wow.
What a career. So a little shout out to Martin West, an undersung actor, one of those guys. You don't see him talked about much, but there it is. Hell of a career.
With this as the capper.
I hope this wasn't the capper.
No.
I hope he went on to do other things after this. People had to redeem themselves after this. Of course, Christine Ebersole, you know, it took her winning Tony Awards to get this out of
the taste of this out of her mouth.
Horrible.
Oh my God. This is pretty early on in her career, though, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, you know, I mean,
is it? I've been in bad stuff.
We all have that. That's the thing. Some of these actors are fine, and there's no reason, you know, the kid who plays the main kid, he's good. He's good. He's good. He's badly directed, you know. Badly directed, but he was game. They all tried to take it seriously, and then this rubber, diseased rubber puppet.
Isn't that a band that you played with?
Diseased Rubber Puppet.
Yeah,
it was. It was my favorite college era band. I didn't go to college, but it was the time, and I would have if I had gone. That's what would have happened.
Yeah. Jade Caligari is the name.
Yes, or her. He made like 2 things, I think, and then stopped acting. But he, I think, is a photographer. I looked up his stats. It's last they checked in on him, he was a photographer, I believe.
Well
out of this business.
This would cure you of a desire to be in movies.
Boy, would it ever.
It's almost cured me of a desire to watch movies.
This cured me almost of like my desire to see terrible movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This wasn't a fun ride for me, I have to say. Because no. I think the main thing that is fun, and I mean to take this to a slightly serious or like thoughtful moment anyway, is that the thing I've gone to bat for terrible movies on this show, and I love them, and I would argue that they're terrible or not sometimes. But the thing that I love about them is that they're made by human beings and they're made by people, you know, who are trying their best. And they think that this is the best that they can do. and they've worked, they all worked hard to make these terrible movies. And then I see something like this where the people that are in control of it are just really, they don't care.
Yeah.
It makes, it just really makes me angry. It really upsets me. So, and that's why I'm like, it's not something for an audience to go to pay money to see that.
Yeah.
There's my diatribe. Okay. Good night. Have fun. See Mac and me.
Well, if this is your first time listening to the Arkin Brothers Talk About Movies,
don't let it be your last.
Don't let it be your last, because it gets better than this, folks. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe, you know, I'll bet fan of the show, I'll bet fan and friend of the show mom is having a good time.
Probably. But honestly, if you kind of liked the movie or forgave it, it would have been even a better show, because then we would have even, now we're just agreeing, but we're sad. Yeah. This is just two older guys being sad. And nobody wants to see that.
No. So yeah, it's better when I love it and you hate it, or you hate it and
we both love it.
Or we both love it. Or we both, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's resistant to picking apart and to really detailing, because I just don't want to watch. I just didn't want to see it.
Well, and there's nothing in it that even lends itself to analysis.
No.
So I think we're gonna have more fun next week.
Are we not doing the show?
No, we're doing the show.
Oh, okay.
And we're talking about 2006's Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, okay.
Starring Samuel L. Jackson, Julianna Margulies, mm-hmm. and Bobby Cannavale.
Much happier times. Much happier times ahead.
Yeah, motherfucking snakes on a plane.
That's what I signed up for. That's a great. We'll tell that story, because I believe that's a true story.
Yeah.
About him deciding to do the movie.
And apparently our producer's dad played violin on that score as well.
Get out of town.
Yeah. So we'll be listening for the violin.
We'll be clearly like trying to see if everything's in tune.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can't wait. That's exciting. All right. That's going to be good. I need that after this. This was horrible.
So tune in next week for even more fun with the Arkin Brothers.
If you can believe it. Yes.
If you can.
You know what I feel like?
A Big Mac?
Man is a genius.
I'm psychic.
I tell you.
And I think that's our show, without any more advertisements from McDonald's.
Talking about cocktails that are stylish, movies great or phony, and how Tony should win to Matthew, and Matthew should win to Tony. But in the meantime, talking about film in the meantime. The Arkin Brothers Talk About Movies.
You've been listening to the Arkin Brothers Talk About Movies. That's my brother, Matthew Arkin.
And that's my brother, Anthony Arkin. And we are interesting, irreverent,
and irrelevant. But you can follow us on Instagram anyway. You can also subscribe to our newsletter and check out our merch.
And you can do it all on our website. Just follow the link on your podcast app.
Or if you really want to stalk us, head over to arkinbros.com. You'll learn more about us than anyone would ever want to know.